You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for the Deep Dive segment, where we take a closer and deeper look at a cybersecurity, cyber warfare, or technology issue around us. And if you have any suggestions for a Deep Dive segment or something you'd like me to dive into, you can once again find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. That's questions@securityfanatics.com. I am more than happy to take a look at it. And if it meets our standards, we are more than happy to do a deep dive on it. So let's begin. Hey guys, Nick Espinoza, your chief security fanatic here. And today I've actually got a very special guest with me. His name is Mark Sargent, and I'm going to let him explain what he's all about. But I think this is going to be a very fascinating conversation, and it may not be something that you necessarily expect. And if you have any idea of what he does, you can look at his background from behind him right here. But I just saw him on a documentary called Behind the Curve, and I had to reach out because I wanted to talk about the internet and proliferation of groups like what Mark is leading. And so with that, Mark, thank you for joining me. And can you tell the audience just a little bit about what you're about and what's going on?
Yeah, thank you for having me, first of all.
My pleasure.
Thank you for reaching out. And before we even get into it, yeah, your listeners, viewers, / readers are going to come back at you for this. Because you're obviously giving a crazy person a platform. Ooh, I should say flat form.
There you go.
Because I just thought of that. Because yes, I am a flat earth advocate. One of the people, if flat earth was software, we are now flat earth 2.0. Flat earth has been around for a really, really long time, but only in the last 5 years ago or last 5 years or so have we turned it into something really, really big on the internet. And we'll get into the why here in a second. But the short version of what I believe is that we're not living on a silly little rock that's flying through space in multiple directions in an impossible universe. We are in a building with walls and a floor and a ceiling, and like a snow globe, a planetarium, a terrarium, whatever you want to call it. And that it was built for a reason. And that you're not an accident, and you're part of something much more intimate and much cooler. And for whatever reason, it's been gaining an amazing amount of traction. And so, yeah, that's what I believe in.
Oh, and thank you for that. I mean, obviously, I think most of the world is contrarian to your beliefs in that sense, but I find this interesting. And the focus of my conversation, as I was, talking to you before we started recording here, is not actually on like the flat earth belief system, itself. And obviously I will, as I mentioned, give you a chance to plug it if people want to learn more about you. But because my show is basically on technology, cybersecurity, and all of that, one of the things that I find absolutely interesting, and I did a little bit of homework on flat earth, is basically how you recruit and how you grow your numbers, because what is unprecedented in humanity for basically the history of it is this massive communication platform that is the internet. And so when I was looking this up, from about 1970 or so to 1990, which was kind of what I understand, and please correct me if I'm wrong, was a revival of the flat earth movement. They grew to about 3,500 or so, and then in the late 90s started declining until it was rebooted in 2004 when it turned into a discussion forum online and then started attracting members. I'm very curious to understand, because we've got a lot of different groups out there, that most of the time their members wouldn't be able to find each other if it wasn't for the internet.
Right.
And so I'm curious to know how the Flat Earth has grown since 2004. It was a discussion forum, what your marketing strategy looks like, in terms of that, because obviously you're trying to attract new members to your movement, to your cause, to your belief, whatever you want to call it. Right. And I think it's absolutely fascinating to me, and just not just Flat Earth, but other groups that basically find themselves. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Not much. As a matter of fact, Congress got involved beginning of last year, where, I was stunned. I was watching on television where they had the head of Google and the head of YouTube up there. And they were asking them, it was the big fake news discussion, which was, and I understood why. So real quick, between 2004 and 2014 or so, not really much happened. I mean, Flat Earth was out there, of course, but it was really a ethereal in nature. And I'm going to take, you know, as much credit as I can, which was I looked at it in the summer of 2014, and there really wasn't that much out there. And I hated it like everybody else. I thought it was terrible. It's like, oh, this thing. And I was a conspiracy guy. And
so you didn't believe Flat Earth until about 2014. I just want to make sure I understand.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't even, okay. didn't give it the time of day. And I was a conspiracy guy. I have an opinion on just about every conspiracy you could think of.
Like what? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, take your pick. I mean, I don't want to turn this into a conspiracy show. But if you can,
no problem.
Yeah, if you can think of it, I've looked at it. So everything from, you know, do I think that 9/11 was an inside job? I've got some,
gotcha,
yeah,
gotcha,
I do.
Gotcha.
But do I think that Bigfoot had Elvis's baby? Probably not.
Gotcha.
So, you know, there's this huge spectrum. And again, I had my opinion. Everybody knows about Flat Earth. Everybody's heard it. I have yet to run into a single person. It's like Flat Earth. Never, you know, no idea what you're talking about. Everybody knows about it and everybody hated it. And it was really just on my bucket list. It was like, all right, fine. You know, I saw a couple of videos on YouTube and it's like, okay, I'll look at it. I'll crush this thing. Everybody hates it. And everyone does the same thing. They try to destroy it. And in fact, it's one of my t-shirts, which is, you know, I every day I wake up and I try to destroy Flat Earth and every day I fail. And it's so frustrating.
Meaning you try to disprove the theory?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody wants to. Everyone wants to go back to their normal life because once you go down this rabbit hole, you're stuck. That's it. I mean, we have a 99% retention rate and it's ridiculous. It shouldn't be that way. But let's get back to the technology side of it. So I went out and I worked for about 9 months on this thing off and on trying to disprove Flat Earth. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to go the other way. I can't prove the globe in a court of law anymore. And that's really the big premise here is like, can I prove Flat Earth to you right now? No, I can't.
Okay.
Can I create so much reasonable doubt in the globe that the only thing you have to go to is some sort of Flat Earth model? Yeah, I probably can. And you say, well, reasonable doubt isn't enough. And it's like, well, it is in court all day long. I mean, reasonable doubt is one of those things. So I made a series of videos, real short. You know, when you start out on YouTube, you don't even get to make long videos. You have to make short videos, like less than 15 minutes. And I called them Flat Earth Clues. And I said, okay, here's why I can't prove the globe anymore. Threw them out on YouTube and said, you know, let them come at me. And I really thought some academic, somebody with a PhD was going to come call me. And I put my phone number out there, my real address, my real name. I said, mm-hmm. Shoot me down, please. Okay. And they didn't. So it just started getting, and what I had done was I inadvertently created the dummies guide for Flat Earth. And I know that sounds kind of redundant, but that's really what I had done. And people just started getting a hold of me. It's like the masses, you know, started, it's like, oh, this is really, really interesting. And then the media, it's like, oh, tell me more about it. And then subject matter experts, you know, people I would have never thought of, you know, pilots and all branches of the armed forces and engineers and air traffic controllers and all these guys saying, you know what, it's not that nuts. Here's why. And through YouTube, I mean, that's what we're really talking about here. Without YouTube, we wouldn't even be talking. It just started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And there was this weird combination of organic growth. Because people thought, again, it's an interesting topic. Whether you love it or hate it, it's really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. And then we had these media spikes every once in a while, or some high-profile person would make some statement about it. And then it would get this big boost and it would just start ratcheting up. So in 2016, we had rapper B.O.B. go against Neil deGrasse Tyson. Brilliant. The guy, you know, B.O.B. nominated for a Grammy, Neil Tyson, the most popular scientist in the world. You know, that took us through 2016. And then 2017, we had athletes like Kyrie Irving and other basketball players get into it. Mm-hmm. 2018, we had the documentary, you know, was shot in 2017, but really wasn't.
The behind the curve, the one I saw on Netflix.
Yeah, that really set things off. And I had nothing to do with the production of it. That was just a like anything, some film group out of Los Angeles followed us around for 9 months. In 2017, and they honestly, they had no confidence in it whatsoever. In fact, I didn't either. It's like, you know, producers come, producers go, and you see projects, you know, fizzle out. And this thing was really interesting. They said, okay, we'll send it to some film festivals, right? And it's like, well, it probably won't get accepted, and it did every time. And it's like, well, okay, it's in some film festival. It's not going to get bought, and it did. And so that's kind of where, between that and the you know, all the other little things in social media that were connected to it, it just kept growing and growing to where, and to your comment in the beginning, you know, we're not actively recruiting members. There's no council. There's no, you know, we don't have any form. There's, you know, no address for the Flat Earth Society. We're not tied to the Flat Earth Society in any way. We're okay. Just the social media version of Flat Earth.
Well, then I think that actually strikes at what I really want to talk about in this conversation, because, you know, I wrote an article for Michael Smirkanish of CNN called "Crowdsourcing Our Outrage," and it wasn't on Flat Earth, but I actually mentioned Flat Earth in it, where you've got a lot of people that normally wouldn't find each other. So I would have to imagine that most, for example, Flat Earth members, when they are, let's say, offline out of the internet, they're surrounded by their family members, and their family members are like, are you high? You know, like
oh, yeah.
why do you believe this? And so they find camaraderie, they find a common ground with other Flat Earth members that they wouldn't normally find if it wasn't for the internet. Like, yes. I have to imagine to grow 3,500 users, you know, 3,500 members of Flat Earth between 1970 and roughly 1990, that would have to take a lot of, you know, you'd have to have a newsletter, you'd have to have some kind of platform prior to the internet. And I have to imagine that even if you're not actively recruiting, you're putting out this information and then the media picks up some of it. You know, like, I'm surprised to hear Neil deGrasse Tyson even debate this issue. I would imagine that that's not something that he would want to do,
right.
You know, unless he's really just thinking, okay, this is growing to a point where I think I need to, as a noted scientist, address this. And
right.
So in that sense, you know, you're using YouTube as a platform for de facto recruitment. And so I'm curious to know then, you know, here in the beginning of 2020, what are the numbers right now? Do you have an estimate? In the documentary, I saw that you guys had your first annual convention, I believe it was in North Carolina. You know, so you obviously have enough momentum and you are collecting, let's say, enough money from people that are signing up to this to be able to put on a conference. And so by virtue of that, if I'm looking at the internet as a whole as a platform for people to find each other, you know, I have to imagine from YouTube, you've sprung up a lot of things like message forums or however that works for you guys that is allowing you to perpetuate and kind of recruit, even if you're not, you know, sending somebody a mailer or whatever that is, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And Neil Tyson was kind of ahead of the game in that he was worried, and there were other groups that were worried. National Geographic got a hold of us, and they ran a story and took me down to Los Angeles, and the reason why they were concerned was there's a survey, and I don't know if you know any of the big survey groups, one out of London called U.gov.
And not off the top of my head.
That's right. Well, U.gov, European group, they said, oh, we're going to poll 10,000 Americans, just random Americans, and see what they think about Flat Earth. And the general numbers were skewing 3-5% until they got to, you know, overall, but the number that really spooked people was the 18-24-year-olds. The 18-24-year-olds, it was over a third, like 34% were doubtful of the globe. And they thought it was an anomaly. In fact, other scientific groups were going after U.gov. So, well, you're obviously doing the survey wrong. It's like, what are you talking about? This is what we do. It's like, we're not screwed up. And we were finding that more and more and more to where, in fact, legally, you're not even supposed to talk to anybody under the age of 18, you know, because of child laws.
Right.
But I can tell you, after the documentary, one of the big reasons why the documentary skewed the way the director hated Flat Earth by the time he was done. Oh my God. The big reason was, though, at the end, if you remember the documentary where that 12-year-old kid walked up to the microphone and was asking me questions at the conference, that really freaked out some people, because they're like, wait a minute. What's happening, you know, if the kids, you know, because as you know, the kids are more pliable. And so under 18, we're over 50% right now. And
so are you saying 50% of your membership is under 18 years of age?
No, not at all. I'm just saying that if you're under 18, you are, not only do you know about it, you're way more accepting of it. Like a lot of things, you know, again, which is why I use the Truman Show reference. You know, we believe the world that is presented to us, and children are, or people under a certain age. Basically, the short version is, as you get younger in the demographics, you skew more, you know, more credibility is given to social media. And that's probably one of your follow-up questions, which is, I run into younger people that basically, if you have, which is just mind-boggling to me, if you have millions of followers, doesn't matter if you purchase them or not, or if they're absolutely real. If you have millions of followers listed in any form of social media, you are instantly credible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely instantly credible. I mean, to the point where you're as credible as CNN or Fox or mm-hmm. ABC or NBC.
Right.
And but, so, because it's all coming through the same device.
Yeah. But I think that is actually part of a follow-up question, if you will, in the sense that one of the things that I write about and I talk about is misinformation and disinformation campaigns. You know, like let's say a foreign government, for example, could go ahead and run a disinformation campaign in, let's say, an election or something else to sway the electorate. We have seen, and studies have borne out, that a lot of social media platforms, or people rather that use, like let's say the Facebooks of the world, tend to get the information from their friends posting on this. And it's not necessarily that their friends are journalists or vetting this information. They read the headline, they find it interesting, they put it out there. And now suddenly we've got people, you know, that are believing things that they shouldn't necessarily believe in that sense. And you know, because it's not been vetted and all of that. You know, I think there would be an argument, let's say for flat earth, or, you know, you can take another topic that I think has really sprung up and found a lot of camaraderie online, like the anti-vaccination movement and, you know, some other stuff. And so in that sense, you know, how do you present yourself as not fake news when 99.999% of us right now on the planet, myself included, I mean, I'm the first to admit, I don't believe what you believe, you know? And so I'm curious to know, like, how you guys say, well, this isn't fake news. You know, hang on one second. Because one of the things I saw in Behind the Curve was that, you know, your people tried to make some attempts, you know, with the laser and the light, trying to, you know, prove that the earth is flat as opposed to curved. And, you know, those experiments failed, or they were not being executed properly or in some way, shape, or form. The result did not definitively prove flat earth.
Sure.
And so I'm curious to know how you take that information and say, well, you know, we're going to still perpetuate this, or we're going to try again, or we're going to spread this out to the world. And we've got a lot of young people that are seeing this and saying, yeah, well, now I question this, when, as far as I know, and from what I understand, the Neil deGrasse Tysons of the world that have a lot of training in physics and everything else can basically say, here's the equation that disproves that. Do you get what I'm
got
saying?
Got it.
And I'm not trying to insult your beliefs here.
I genuinely want
to understand philosophically, you know, how you guys are taking that in the world of fake news, in the world of fake information, in the world of perpetuation unchecked through social media, where a lot of information gets out there that is just demonstrably false.
Got it. Well, there's a couple of questions. I'll see if I can answer them in the order you laid it out. The first thing is, we don't have to emphasize us versus any other media, because we don't ever have to come out and say we're real and other people aren't, or we don't have to differentiate between our beliefs and other beliefs we may not agree with, mostly because the viewer, you know, the people that have these, the thing has changed is this, and that is, if you're getting all your media through one device, you know, if kids aren't watching television, the biggest screen I saw anybody over the vacation, you know, I watched a bunch of kids, was on their laptop, and that was generally because they were doing other things. Most of the time, though, they were on this. If you're getting YouTube videos and social media videos and other information through this in the same breath as, you know, the news channels, CNN and NBC and ABC, what's the difference? Meaning you're getting bombarded with images, and honestly, the major networks, and there's only, what, five of them, get lost in the shuffle. Now, when it comes to us, how shall I put this? I'm going to try to put this as gently as I can, because I don't want to sound scary when I'm doing this.
As long as you don't swear, because it's
No. I never, other than that, you're good. No. I never swear. But the short version is, because why does this keep gaining traction? Why do we keep just getting bigger and bigger and weirder? And I mean, we were just on the cover of Popular Science and the cover of Newsweek. And
It's not so much increasing so much as it is how you're differentiating yourself, because what you believe, you don't believe to be fake news.
No.
No, of course.
Yeah.
But what I think a lot of the world looks at that and they're like, oh, fake news. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, and they should. They absolutely should. They should go at it skeptically. In fact, if you were going to come out and say, oh yeah, this is, you know, I'm buying it, I'd think there was something wrong with you. In fact, I said it in my last book. I said, look, if you buy into this in the first 20 minutes, there's something wrong. because everybody's knee-jerk response takes minimum like 2 weeks. I mean, I saw a woman flip in about an hour, but I think she was super, super open-minded. Women generally are. But the short version is this. We've created a way of explaining the world, which is far easier than the heliocentric model, the solar system model. The solar system model, so if I was holding, I don't have my props in front of me, but if I have a globe in one hand and a snow globe in the other, right?
Okay.
The globe, and they look roughly the same size. However, the globe cannot exist on its own. The globe needs a massive solar system around it, you know, with the sun and other planets. It needs a galaxy around that and a universe around that. And it needs what? Geometry and trigonometry and calculus and quantum mechanics and all that. Snow globe needs nothing. Snow globe barely needs algebra to survive. I mean, and it doesn't need anything else outside it. And people are not to quote The Art of War too much, but the old saying, which I love, which is people are like water. They always take the path of least resistance. I'm trying not to say that people are lazy, but if the snow globe model is easier to explain than the globe model, that's what they're going for. And you say, well, but just because it's easy doesn't mean it's right. I'm going, no, it doesn't. But it means they're going to follow that path because it's easier to do. And you know, how many, you know, I don't know if you were in math club or chess club or all the other clubs in high school, but those clubs, as you know, are very, very small because the science nerds and the geeks, and I was one of those nerds, it's a very small group. The masses are very basic, and which is what, you know, you can't get the term more easier than, or more easier, good English, the term flat earth. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's two syllables and everybody's heard of it. And so, but everyone has that knee-jerk response. They go, oh, it's terrible, awful. And then they look into it and they go, well, they'll do the same thing I do, which is why literally the first chapter of my book is called Look Away. I literally dissuade people from going to it. And I say, don't look. And I'm not trying to do the reverse psychology thing, which is, you know, don't think about elephant. I'm not trying to do that, but I'm trying to say, don't look at it because it's a rabbit hole. And once you go down it, you're not coming back. It is the greatest red pill, blue pill. One more thing.
Yeah.
I know you're probably going to go over in time, but it's just the way it's probably going to be, which is when it came to the documentary, you know, it's like, oh yeah, fine. Jaron screwed up his experiment, right? And Bob, you know, but you got to remember, there's a lot of power of editing here. Jaron didn't screw up his experiment. The director left a lot of stuff out, but he wasn't going to clarify. In fact, Jaron was just livid after the movie was over because he's like, well, he goes, what happened? He goes, why didn't they show blah, 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 blah? And it's like, well, because the director made a stand and because the director and the producers all agreed. It's like, this thing shouldn't be pushed out to kids. And one more thing, because I remember what you said. It's like, well, because Neil deGrasse Tyson has the equation to disprove the flat earth. Does he? What's that equation? I've never heard of it. And we've been using science. I've memorized so many different little scientific factoids. And in learning the formula, that's one of our big things. It's like the curvature of the earth is 8 inches per mile squared, supposedly. Why can't we ever see it? And HD technology, and to your point, technology has changed it. We wouldn't have had nearly attraction 15 years ago. But HD technology has changed that to where now with HD cameras, you can look way, way farther than you should be able to with the curvature of the earth. But nobody even thought about it because 99 out of 100 people on the street, maybe 1 in 1,000 people on the street even know what the curvature formula is. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I ramble.
Right. Well, no. And you know, I appreciate that. I just, you know, I am curious because like you mentioned one thing and we are a little over on time, but so I want to follow up with one or two more things, but you know, you mentioned that, yeah, the vast majority of us are actually getting our media content from our mobile phone. But what I'm talking about more is I can use my mobile phone to go to the Washington Post or the New York Times or scientific journals, or I can go to Facebook, you know, and just see what my friends are posting, whatever hyperbolic, you know, article, and maybe it's a well-reasoned thought out article, or maybe it's something different. And one of the things that I'm curious to know, just because I think the most of the planet would label you fake news, even though you believe this and you don't believe that it is fake, you know, and sure. So I'm curious in that sense, and I think this will be my last question is, you stated nearly at the beginning of this interview that you basically wouldn't be here if it wasn't for YouTube. YouTube is a free platform that gives you the ability to post whatever content you want, short of violating their terms of services. And by virtue of that, anybody can put out anything. And so in that sense, if you are sitting there, let's say, pushing out things about flat earth clues, or, hey, why don't you think about it in this way? Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't necessarily, and please forgive me here, because I'm, that doesn't necessarily make you an authority in science or in flat earth or whatever. And right. So by virtue of that, the audience has to take you at your word, or you have to show credibility in some way, shape, or form. I have a degree from this. I've studied this, or, you know, whatever that is. And again, I'm not right. sitting here trying to knock you or
oh, no, it's
you
fine.
Down. It's fine. I'm trying to get to that core of it, where I think you guys have built a community. And just out of curiosity, how many people do you estimate are in flat earth right now or actively involved? You might not have like membership cards, but how many people did you get at your conference, out of curiosity?
Which one?
Okay. Well, the one I know of is the one from Behind the Curve. I'm assuming you do it annually. And so I'd be curious to know what those numbers are.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was, I remember that was, oh yeah, that was 2 years ago. And I think we had 500-600 at that one. And okay. then after that, last year we had Denver and Edmonton, Canada, and London. And then this year we had, I mean, it's just that the growth has been amazing. I did conferences in Calgary, Stockholm, London, Los Angeles, South Carolina, Dallas, and Auckland.
Okay. Well, Mark, I want to thank you for your time, and I've got to wrap it up, or else I'm going to run over.
Oh no, that's
you know, for my segment here. Sure. Yeah, I honestly could talk to you for the next couple of hours. I have just so many questions on how this proliferates on the internet, just for my own research on internet communication. But if people want to find you, I like I said, I'm more than happy to give you a plug for whatever you want to plug. So.
Oh yeah.
Find you or follow you or contact you. What's the best way?
The easiest way is just to Google Flat Earth Clues. It's a video series on YouTube. It's a couple books now. The documentary is called Behind the Curve. It's on Netflix and Amazon and every other place you could want. And if you want to just email me directly, my email address is msargent23@comcast.net.
All right. Well, Mark, again, thank you very much for your time. And it's greatly appreciated. And so this is Nick Espinoza signing off.
And thank you so much for tuning in this week. It was another fun show, and I think we covered a lot of really good stuff, and I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. It was a really good time, and I hope you keep tuning in. Thank you very much for listening to the Deep Dive Radio Show here with Nick Espinoza. And if you have any comments, suggestions, questions, absolutely anything, once again, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick A. ESP. Again, that's Nick A. ESP. And you can always send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. Don't be shy. I love the feedback. We've been having a great time with the show. And as always, stay safe and stay online, everyone. Thanks for listening.